3. God. Amen. Well, I might need to be more careful how I say that, because some people's God is money, some people's God is themselves, some people's God, I don't know, things that might they might trust, things they might worship. So maybe I should have said, aren't you glad that the God of the Bible is your God? Amen. And the God of the Bible, if you read the Bible, you can see very well that He cares about your life. He cares about what happens to you. He cares about you in this world and in eternity. I sure do like that promise in Hebrews where He said He'll never leave us or forsake us. But there's another promise, and it's in 1 John. We won't look at it right now, but He promised to answer our prayers. Sometimes you pray for things and you do not get what you asked for, and you wonder, why didn't God do that? There are explanations for those things, but I think a greater wonder is this. Isn't it amazing? God does answer our prayers. And I think of the verse in Philippians where Paul tells those folks, he says, be careful for nothing. He said, don't worry. He says, but by prayer, let your requests be made known unto God, and God will give you His peace. And that's a paraphrase, of course, but that's what he said. And I was thinking about this funeral on Friday. I want it to be a blessing to the family, to the people, and to those that are in attendance. But I don't know how to do that, but God does. And so rather than being worried about it, I'm going to pray. God answers prayer. There's an interesting thing in 1 Kings chapter 3. A story, a true story, of course, of a prayer that even before the prayer was offered, God made a promise. He promised Solomon, he said, ask me what you will and I'll give it to you. We're going to read that here in just a minute. But when the Lord said that, He did not put any stipulations on the request. Solomon could have asked for anything. God said, whatever you ask for, I'll give it to you. I think God knew what Solomon was going to ask for. That's neither here nor there. But if God came to you and said, ask me for anything and I'll give it to you, what would you ask for? And would it be something just for you? Or perhaps it would be something that would benefit other people? That's ultimately what happened here with Solomon. We're going to see that this morning. I think we need to be very careful, though, because as you and I live our life, there are things we're after. There's things that we want, things that we're seeking. And God knows what we're seeking. God knows exactly what you want. You may have trouble identifying it, but if you had to write one thing down, this is what I want, God knows already. I hope it's the right thing. It would be sad to waste your life seeking the wrong things and step into eternity and have nothing to show for this life. So let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read this account, this story of the prayer that Solomon offered. I'm going to begin in verse 3 and just read down to about verse 15. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I've also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anything among the kings, any among the kings, like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Let's ask the Lord to bless. Father, what a great passage we see this morning. So many things in it. We see Solomon continually reminding himself and telling you that he was your servant. God, I pray that we would have that heart, that we'd want to be your servant. I see that as he was given this privilege of asking, that he chose something that would allow him to be a good ruler, a good king, a good leader, rather than asking for riches or something of that sort. And God, thank you that because of his attitude and the way he pleased you, that we can learn some things from that today, that we might understand better how to pray, better how to trust you, better how to walk with you. We ask that you'd bless our time together, and I ask if there's one here that's not saved, God, please help them to understand how much Christ loved them, that he died on the cross to pay for their sins. He's ready to receive them as their Savior if they'll simply come to him and ask. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Even in a short passage like this, can you see all the things we learn about Solomon, the way he lived, the way he thought? Look with me, for example, in verse 3, the Bible says, Solomon loved the Lord. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen? Now watch out, because that sentence keeps on going there, and he explains something. He says, walking in the statutes of David his father. That'd be a good Father's Day message, perhaps. Solomon loved the Lord, and so he behaved himself in a certain way. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love him, you're going to want to please him, and you please him by following him and obeying him and living for him. And Solomon loved the Lord, and that's where it should start with any of us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Our righteousness was as filthy rags, and yet he was willing to die on the cross and save us from our sins. And I don't know about the people around you, I don't know about the people next to you, but think about yourself for a minute. Christ died for you. He loved you that much. How can you not love him in return? I should have died and gone to hell. I'm a wicked, rotten sinner. None of us are good enough to even think about going to heaven. I'm a wicked, rotten sinner, but Christ died for me. He took my sins upon him. And then the Bible says he gave me his righteousness. So when I stand before God to be judged one day, because I have asked Christ to save me, trusted him to be my Savior, the Bible says God will see the righteousness of Christ in me, something that I didn't deserve, just like God saw my sin when Christ was nailed to that cross. How can you not love him? Solomon, living in the Old Testament, was not familiar with the story I just told you. He simply knew the Lord from different experiences in his life and so on, and from what his father had taught him. But he loved the Lord, and he walked in David's commandments and in the ways of the Lord. But there's something interesting, if you didn't see it in verse 3, there's that word only. Oh, we don't like that word. Only. There was a problem. Solomon wasn't perfect. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. That was an idolatrous act of some kind. We don't know the details, but it was something God didn't approve of. And here's what's interesting to me. God did not say to you and I, if you are perfect, I will answer your prayers. He said, if you have faith. Now, don't get too carried away. The Bible says in the New Testament, there is a particular passage that says he hears us because we please him. But God understands our imperfections. He knew Solomon's imperfection, and he still was willing to use Solomon in a great way, put him in this position, and we're going to study his life, and I'm not going to jump to the end right now, but it didn't end as good as it could have. And what you see promised here didn't quite all come to pass because Solomon didn't keep his end of the bargain at the end of his life, and we'll talk about that more later. Let's just focus on the issue at hand, which is, why was it that Solomon's speech pleased the Lord? In other words, what was it about him? It says verse 10, if you see that with me, it says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, don't turn there, but you can jot it down. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I believe, or chapter 1, I'm sorry, in verse 10, talks about he asked specifically for wisdom and knowledge. He was the king of God's people, and he wanted to have wisdom and knowledge so that he could rule them properly. And we're going to see that play out in a future message to where the wisdom he had was incredible. And you'll see it. Real wisdom can be seen. But here he's asking for this wisdom. He didn't ask for some other things. His speech pleased the Lord, and it might be something we could learn from as you and I are going to go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, I just could ask you, don't answer out loud, but have you talked to him today? Amen. Amen. He was ready to hear from you. Yes, sir. In fact, you could talk to him all the time. I do believe that we should make a formal time of prayer in our life, but you can talk to him when you're driving down the road. You can talk to him when you're standing in the foyer. You can talk to him when you're walking back to your car. You can talk to him when you're driving a bus. He'll hear you whenever. But as you pray to him, some things that Solomon did can teach us how our speech might please him. So let's begin. I'm going to start in verse 11. We see the gist of the story. I just don't want to underemphasize what's in verses 5 through 8, which is Solomon. I like what he says, for example, in verse 7. He says, I'm but a little child. I don't know how to go out or to come in. He understood without God, he was nothing. You ever had a little child and they can't figure out how to open the door? We have sliding glass doors in the back of our house, and my grandson, my littlest one, with great effort, he can pull that door unless it's latched, and then he just doesn't know what to do. He's too little. He hadn't learned it. He's not strong. He's not familiar. Solomon said, God, when it comes to leading your people, when it comes to doing what you want me to do, I'm like a little child. I can't even open the door. I need you. Folks, we need God. That was the spirit of his prayer. And now, if you look at what he said specifically in verse 11, God said to him, because thou hast asked this thing. Now, first of all, why did his speech please the Lord? Because of what he asked for. Because of what he asked for. It was a selfless, not a selfish speech. He asked for wisdom and knowledge. He later wrote Proverbs, and in Proverbs 4:7, he says this, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is a word that, to put a tight, concise definition on it, can be a little bit challenging. But wisdom is doing what is obviously right. It is not, for example, wise to light a match to find where the gas leak is. You laugh, but people have done that. And in some case, I'm sure someone did that and caused a great catastrophe. When you know what's right, when you know what's true, when you know the thing that should be done, wisdom is doing it. I can say, for example, I know that I shouldn't drive my car 100 miles an hour on the highway. But wisdom is saying, now I'm not going to drive too fast. Wisdom is saying, I see what's right. I see what needs to be done. I see what God would want, particularly that's important. And that's what I'm going to do. The Bible makes lots of comparison and contrast. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's a lot about fools in Proverbs. We won't get into all this right now. But folks, wisdom is the principal thing. It's not just knowing what to do. A lot of folks know what to do, but wisdom is doing it. And wisdom is consistently, I think, doing it. He says, Lord, I want wisdom. What is wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, Proverbs 8:13. Wisdom includes humility, Proverbs 11:12. We're going to see more about wisdom in 2 weeks when I get back from Salt Lake City. But wisdom is a very practical, useful, valuable attribute. And I would say something simple just to give an illustration. Only a fool would disobey God. Only a fool would say, I don't care what God wants, I'm going to do what I want. You're putting your finger in the face of the creator of the universe. It's a dangerous thing to do. Solomon says, I need wisdom, and what he asked for pleased the Lord. Now, there's a second thing that pleased the Lord here. If you look again, we're in verse 11. He says, God said to him, because thou hast asked this thing, and then he says, and hast not asked for thyself. And then he gives a list of some things that Solomon could have asked for. Solomon could have said, Lord, I want to live a long life. Solomon could have said, Lord, I want riches. Solomon could have said, Lord, I want to defeat my enemies. Solomon could have asked for some things that would have been maybe short-sighted, maybe seemingly valuable. You know, if you live a long life, that doesn't mean you live a good life. If you have a lot of money, that doesn't mean you're happy. If you defeat your enemies, that doesn't mean that you please God. There are lots of things he could have asked for, things that are obvious that are possible, but he didn't ask for those things. And God said, I'm pleased that you haven't asked for those things. What is a long life if it's unhappy? What are riches good for if God is absent? What is victory over enemies if you're not serving God? Be careful in your life. The principles here are very valid. If you want to please God, the things that you seek, the things that you ask for will please or displease him, and the things that you don't ask for will please or displease him. I was right before the message looking up a verse that I have written down in my office, and I look at it quite often. And peep your finger here, and I'll read it to you. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And that's right before Kings. It shouldn't be hard to find. 1 Samuel chapter 2. As in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. And then in verse 8, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust. If you didn't have any money, if you didn't have any strength, if you didn't have any ability, but if you had God, you have everything you need. In fact, God knows what you need better than you know what you need. Seek ye first. The pastor in Salt Lake City, his life verse, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That was his life verse. I've told you at one point in time the story behind that, or one of the stories behind it. But do you believe that verse? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, a lot of us get it backwards and we start seeking the things that we think would make us happy. And again, folks, just please believe me when I tell you this, God knows how to make you happy better than you know how to make you happy. God knows what you need better than you know what you need. And God knows what wants you have. And he knows which of your wants are good for you and which are not good for you. And he's a loving God, and he will keep some things from you. and give you other things because he cares about you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Are you doing that? Solomon is doing that right here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The salvation is part of that, but not just salvation. Serving God, walking with God, being faithful to God, doing godly things. Seeking, the verse continues, his righteousness. Are you seeking to be righteous? Or are you just looking for the things and forgetting God in the equation? Solomon, the things he asked for, the things he didn't ask for, pleased the Lord. His direction was a godly direction. And I read you 1 Samuel 2:7 because I think you need to understand. Folks, God's the one that gives you what you have. You say, Pastor, I've got a lot of this or a lot of that. God gave you that. You say, Pastor, I don't have a lot of this or a lot of that. God didn't give you that. God takes care of us. God gives us what we need. And God gives us more than we need. We could go around the room taking testimonies of the blessings of God, of things that he's given us that we didn't deserve, that we couldn't have gotten by ourselves, because he's a great God. We are a lot like Solomon in that regard. God hears our prayers, promised to answer our prayers, but we need to make sure what we pray, what we say, what we live pleases God. So the question is, why was the Lord pleased? First, because of what Solomon asked for. Then, because of what Solomon didn't ask for. And now, back in 1 Kings chapter 3, if you would, let's keep on reading. Look at verse 12. He says, God says, behold, I've done according to thy words. That's interesting to me. Solomon prayed and God's already answered. Don't you like those speedy answers to prayer? Amen? You know, you pray and just like that, God answers. Doesn't always happen that way, but this time it did. He said, I've given thee, verse 12, a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, and neither after thee shall arise any like unto thee. Now, we're going to look at this in greater detail, but listen to me. Solomon was unique among men. No one like him. The wisest man that ever lived. Rich. We would say in our terminology, looking at his situation, the richest man that ever lived. Not in dollar figures so much as just in riches in general. And one of the most successful men that ever lived. He built the first temple, an incredible, and we'll see all that later on. The fellow had, 700 wives and 300 concubines? He had access to something we don't need. All these things Solomon had, riches, wisdom, success, pleasure, anything he wanted, he just got it. Whatever it was. And you know what he said at the end of his life? He said, here's the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. He said, because all the rest of that is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now, I'll say this more than once in the coming messages, but I'll say it now. I believe with all my heart, if Solomon couldn't take all those riches and all that wisdom and all those opportunities and all his victories and his success and everything he did, if he couldn't take that and make himself happy, you can't either. God can make you happy. And God can make you happy even if you haven't got those things. Now, you either do or you don't believe me. If you don't believe me, I'm sorry. It's true. The Bible bears this out quite plainly. Solomon is an experiment, if you will. Let's give somebody everything anybody could ever want and see what they do with it. And Solomon comes to the place where he says, it's all empty. That's the word vanity. And he says, fear God and keep his commandments. That's what we need to be doing. And then, I'm sorry to say, we'll look at it later, he fell into idolatry and disobeyed God. And I think to myself, if Solomon, after all that he had and all that God did with him, if Solomon could fail, we could too. Be careful. So here you go, three things. Why was God pleased? Because of what he asked for, because of what he didn't ask for. And then look at verse 13. Because of what God had planned for him, he says in verse 13, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And what he's saying is, Solomon, I've got a big job for you. You're going to be the king. You're going to be the best king, the most successful king, the most powerful king that ever lived and ever ruled Israel up until Christ comes back. I got a plan for you, and I'm going to give you what you need to accommodate that plan. You know, we hear this, people say this, and they're trying to flatter you sometimes when they say it, but it's true in a right way. God has a plan for your life. But it may not be the plan you have for your life. You may have a plan for your life that's not what God wants. My prayer would be, Lord, and I've prayed this prayer. I have prayed this prayer in my 20s. Lord, my plan is bad. I have messed it all up. You do what you need to get me on track. And he did. So the question is, what is God's plan for your life? And are you willing to facilitate that? Are you willing to cooperate with that? Are you willing to do it? Doesn't have to be that you sit down today and know all the details of your life. Solomon's going to have a lot of details in his life he doesn't know right now. But one thing he does know is this. God made him the king. And God is going to give him what he needs to be the best king Israel ever had. Amen. God saved you because he loved you. He sent his son to die on the cross to pay for your sins because you needed a savior and he loved you and didn't want you to die and go to hell. But that wasn't the end of the story. That's the beginning of the story. Now what does God want to do with you? I've been a youth pastor and you know the story. I was a youth pastor back in the 1990s and late 90s primarily. And one of my young men that was in my youth group was a man named Jerry. And he was excellent in his own way, very intelligent. He was tall. And his life verse is kind of humorous compared to his height. His life verse is that Christ must increase and he must decrease. And this fellow, he's a big kid. And he went off to Bible college. And then he went and got his doctorate in music. And then he went and served in that Bible college. A couple of months ago, he was called to be the pastor of Fairhaven Baptist Church and the president of Fairhaven Baptist Bible College. He now is the pastor of a very big church there in Indiana, and he's going to be at the funeral next Friday. And he's going to do the graveside. I asked him if he would do the graveside, and he said he would. And if I'd have talked to him back in the 1990s and said, hey, Jerry, what's God's plan for your life? I don't know, but I know this. I'm going to go to Bible college, he said. And I've told you this story before. He and a young man named Jake, who I'll see this next week also, I'm sure. Those two young men, we were on a youth trip to northern Idaho. The last day we were there, we went out to a waterfall, and I didn't know they were going to do it. The two of them went off into the woods a little ways and knelt down and prayed. And here was their prayer. God, let me see sin the way you see sin. Let me hate and feel about and hate sin the way you hate sin. And when they told me the story, they wept. And I was a little angry at them for going off without telling me, but after I heard the story, it was okay. And folks, that's the kind of heart God's looking for. When you read this whole passage again, which we won't do, you see Solomon continually reminding God, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Lord, I want what I need so that I can serve you well. That's what I want. And then God said, because you didn't ask for these other things, I'm going to give them to you as well. It's not a trick. It's the wisdom of God. Do you love the Lord? Are you his servant? Is your life or is your life his life? Amen? Paul the Apostle said, for me to live is Christ. If you had to fill in that blank, for me to live is, what would you write? Solomon said, Lord, I'm your servant. I love you. I want to walk with you. I want to do the best job I can. Give me what I need to do that job. And God did. I hope our speech pleases the Lord the way Solomon's does. And I just want to tell you something. Perhaps in your life, you've gotten off track. Maybe your direction, you realize my direction is not God's direction. Maybe your desires are not God's desires, and the things you're looking for aren't what God wants for you. Let me ask you a kind of a rhetorical question. Do you think God could fix that? Don't you? If you give him a chance, he will. That's maybe the best thing of all about Solomon. Solomon says, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. I think of Jesus when he prayed the night before he was crucified. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. That's a saying that pleases God. Let's all stand and pray.